Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Dalet. We are learning today Le'ila Nishmas Blanche Oppenheimer, Blima Bas Shalom Yona, and also Dina Wallenstein, Dina Bas Shlomo. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah. We begin the Gemara Pei Dalet, Omud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. We had discussed in the Mishnah yesterday that Rachmana Lassan, if a person was bitten by this rabid dog, by this mad dog, that it is very dangerous and one could do certain things, according to Rav Masi ben Cheresh, on Shabbos, such as even feeding this dog the liver of the dog, which normally would obviously be also the Chum disagreed. In any event, the Gemara now asks, 8 lines on the top, Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, the Nochitz Le Mayis. If somebody gets bitten by this dog, it is a fatal illness, potentially. Maitikante, what is the cure? Now, we've mentioned many, many times that cures in the Gemara are not something that we can apply today. We don't understand the incantations, the lachash, the various types of remedies that the Gemara gives on a metaphysical basis, and we don't understand the physical remedies that the Gemara sometimes gives. One is not allowed to practice medicine with the Gemara. This is not Halach L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. This is not Mesorah that we have. These are the understandings of medicine that the academies of Nardoi and Pumpadisa had, and they're not halachically to be followed. In any event, the Gemara says, how do you go and take care of this dog bite? So Abaye says, they say mashka, you take the hide, mashka is the skin or the hide of the apa. Rashi tells us that apa is the animal known as the tzavua in Chumash, and you take a dichra, which is a male, so you take the hide of this apa, the dichra. Some translate this tzavua as being a polecat. Others translate it differently. In any event, you take the hide of this animal known as the apa, this male animal, the nichtov aleh, and you write on it, I, Planya, so-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, Bar Planisa, Bar Mrs. So-and-so, Amashcha, the apa dichra kostivin aloch, I'm writing this on this skin, this hide of this male apa, this male tzavua, and you write this incantation, Kanti, Kanti, Kalirus, or others say, Armilah, Kandi, Kandi, Kalorus. Again, we have no idea what these words mean. These are incantations. And then you say additional words, which sounds like we know what they mean, but again, this is an incantation. We have no idea what it means. Ka, ka, the Shem of Hashem, Shem of Hashem, Hashem Tzvakos, Amen, Amen, Sela. And you write this down on this hide. Then you take this hide with these words written on it. Unishalchinu, you take off lemone, your clothing, ulekibrinu, and you bury it, be kivre, in a cemetery. And the Bach adds over here that this cemetery has to be found b'parashas drochim, at the crossroads. Ad treisar yachi, for 12 months you bury it there, treisar yachi shata, for 12 months, and then the Bach adds again over here, l'bosar hachi, after this 12-month period of time, v'navkinu, you go and take it, v'niklinu, and you go and burn it b'tanura in an oven. And then, Unavadrinhu, you go and spread it out, Lekitme, these ashes, Aporishas Drochim, again, at the same crossroads where the cemetery was. Vahanach Tresa Yachishata, and during this period of this 12-month time that you have buried these clothings, Kishosi Maya, whenever you go and drink water, Lo Lishte, make sure that you don't drink it, Elo Begufsa Dinechosha. Rashi explains that Gufsa Dinechosha is some sort of a copper straw. Ayide kone shel nechosha, some sort of a pipe, a straw made out of copper. Others say it doesn't have to be literally copper, and some aren't even goes the word copper over here. In any event, the reason that you drink it out of a straw is dilma, because if you were to drink it directly, chose bavua deshida vilistakin, you might see as you're drinking the water directly as opposed to through a straw, you might see a reflection over here of the shade that somehow was put into this rabid dog. Again, we had yesterday Rav Shmuel, different understandings as to what causes this rabid dog. In any event, and you'll become sick by seeing this shade. Okay, this is the Gemara's remedy, cure for this illness. And this once happened. Kiha the Abba Bar Marta, which is the same person who Abba Bar Minyume. His mother's name was Marta, according to many, and his father's name was Minyume. In any event, this great sage Abba, so he had this happen to him, and of the Leime, his mother, Mustama Marta, she made for him Gufso de Davos, she made for him a golden straw, and he was, Bach adds the words V'itzi, and he was able to be healed as a result of not seeing the image of the shade in this drink. Okay, again, something we don't understand. and we go weiter. For Odom Rav Masya, then our Mishnah says that Rav Masya said that for this illness in the mouth or in the throat, which the Gemara is going to describe as something called sapidna, which Rashi tells us is a choli hashinayim, a certain type of illness of the teeth and b'hachinichim and the gums. Umaskel bepet starts in the mouth, v'gomer b'bnei miyayim, and it continues into the intestines. Umesukenu, and this is a very dangerous illness. So in the Mishnah, Rav Masi ben Chayrish had said that you'll have to take medication for this on Shabbos. Now, what exactly is this tzafidna? So some suggest that it's actually scurvy, and we're going to actually have that you have bleeding from the mouth and from the teeth in this disease, which again sounds like scurvy. Scurvy was a scourge of those days for people that lacked vitamin C. A lot of the sailors, when they came over from Europe to America, they didn't have fresh fruits, they didn't have vitamin C, so they ended up getting scurvy, and you know, in the long travels from Europe to the United States, and then and even when they got here, they didn't have fruits right away. In any event, so the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan chosh bitzafidna. Rav Yochanan had this illness, he had this scurvy, he had this mouth illness, and what did he do? Ozel gaba dahi matronisa. So he went to the local healer, which was a Goyish woman. Rashi says Matronitsa over here means Nachris Haisa. She was a non-Jewish lady, and she gave him a certain salve for it. Of the Le Milsa Chamsha, she gave him a certain type of treatment on Thursday. Chamsha is the fifth day of the week. Umale Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, and he said, Amalah B'Shabbos Mai, what am I going to do on Shabbos? I can't come to you on Shabbos, so how am I going to go and take this medication on Shabbos? Rashi in Avodah Zarah says that he was busy giving the shir on Shabbos, not that he wasn't able to come there, he just was busy on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, she told him, Amrolei, this Matronisa, tells back to Rabbi Yochanan, Lo tzrichas, you're cured already, you don't need it. No, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't happy with that. He said, Inim tzrichna mai, what happens if I do need it? Baruch Hashem, I feel very good right now, your medicine works actually very, very well, but what happens if I do need it? So what am I going to do? So the Gemara says, Amrolei, she says to him, okay, this is my secret concoction. I'm not just going to tell it to you. This is not something that I just give away. But Mestama Rav Yochanan persisted. So she said, Ishtabali, the lo megalis, go and swear to me that you will not reveal my secret. And okay, I'll tell it to you. You seem like a very honorable, nice person, and I will tell it to you, but you can't tell it to anybody else. So listen what Rav Yochanan does. Rav Yochanan says, Ishtaba le lo ka di yisrael lo megalina. He says, I swear. Now, he meant to say, and he in fact told her this right after he said it, and she told him the secret, he said, I swear that I will not tell it, Loma Galina, Le'eloka di Yisrael, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but implying, I will tell it to all the other Jewish people. She misunderstood that, and thought that he was swearing by God. And before she pointed out, he didn't say, Be'eloka di Yisrael, he said, Le'eloka di Yisrael, I swear that I will not tell it to God. That's what he swore, and she misunderstood it, and therefore she told him the secret recipe. She told him how to cure this tzapidna, and what did Rav Yochanan do? Nofak dorsho bepirka. He told the secret ingredients to the entire public. He gave it in a public shiur, so everybody now could be healed from this tzapidna without having to pay for it. Now, Gemara says, what? How could he do this? For ishtabalo, he swore to her. So Gemara says, no, as I just told you, he swore that he wouldn't reveal it, Le'elakar di Yisrael lo megalina. However, holy, I'm a Yisrael megalina. He said, I swore that I wouldn't tell it to God. I didn't tell it to God. I told it to the public. I told it in the public shir, and I told it to everybody. Gemara says, how could he do this? What a horrible chil Hashem. Here, this woman is doing him a favor, telling him that, in fact, I'm going to do you a favor and tell you my secret recipe, but just promise you won't tell it to everybody else, so I won't lose my business. And he goes and tells it to everybody else. What a chil Hashem. He swore he wouldn't do this. So Gemara says, no, there's no chil Hashem over here. The Megale Lo Meikara. As soon as she told him the secret recipe, he said, listen, I want you to know, I didn't swear as you think I did. I didn't swear Be'elokar Yisrael. I am swearing Le'elokar Yisrael that I won't reveal it. But this is a fatal illness, and you have a cure, and you're selling this cure. That's really not right. All these people are dying. Those people that can't get to you in time, those people that can't afford to pay you, so they're dying. So I'm going to take your cure and publicize it for free. I'm not going to make a penny off it myself. If I wanted to, I could go into business and also sell this cure and be competition to you. But what I want to do is make sure that everybody has access to free healthcare, and everybody has the opportunity to be cured from this potentially fatal illness is sapidna, that you're allowed to go take medications on Shabbos for it, according to Rav Masi ben Chayrish. That's how dangerous it is, and we'll see, have all discussion, do the Chachamim agree with that or not? So Rav Yochanan says, I'm doing the public a good over here. He explained to her what he was doing. Now, how did she take it? So Yerushalmi has two versions. Yerushalmi has one version that she was so upset that she lost the business, she actually committed suicide. But the version of the Yerushalmi that I personally prefer is that she was so impressed by the fact that Rav Yochanan did not try to make a dime off this himself. Here he was. He now knew the secret. She was making a very nice parnasa off of this. And he could have done the same. And yet, he chose to give up this wealth in order to save other people. She was so impressed by this that Yerushalmi said that she was miskayeres, that she actually became a full-fledged Jewish convert, a ger tzedek. Any event, the story requires further introspection. Nudimor says, what was this cure? My obdolei, what was the secret remedy? So Rav Ami, who was the son of Rav Ami, said that she told him to go apply to his teeth, his mouth, mei sa'or, the water that's made out of sa'or, which is yeast, shemen zayis, they had olive oil, and melach, and salt. And you stir this concoction, you apply it to the teeth. Rav Yema Omar, sa'or gufe. No, you take actually the yeast itself, not the mei sa'or, and shemen zayis and melach. So slightly different, Rav Yema versus Rav Acha, b'rei Rav Ami. And Rav Ashi had a different opinion. Rav Ashi said that it was a mishcha de gadfa. It was the schmaltz, the fat of the wing, the gadfa of the avza, of a goose. On Abaye says, I know avdi l'chulu, I tried all three of these different opinions, and it didn't work when I had this sapidna. Below it's soy, and I didn't get healed. Ad de omeli ha'utai, until an Arab guy came up to me. This Arab told me, Aiti kashyosa, so go and take the pits, the seeds of an olive, the lo molu tilsa, that had not matured to a third of its growth, so an immature olive, uklinu benura, and go burn it in a fire, and this fire should be on top of amora charata, a brand new hoe, a brand new type of a shovel, the adbek bekoche dore, and go and take the ashes over here and smooth it out, attach it to your teeth, your gums, and of the hochi, and in fact, Abaye did this, v'itzoi, and he was cured. Again, we don't understand this at all. Gemara says, Mimayhava, what is the source, the underlying pathophysiology of this stapidna? What causes this stapidna? So the Gemara says, by eating, mechamime dechite, eating very, very hot bread, somehow it burns the teeth, it burns the gums over here, or alternatively, umishiyure kasa de harsana, or by eating leftovers. Rashi says mishiyuri means leftovers. Sha'ovar olav halayla, it stayed overnight, and this kasa de harsana is a certain type of fish, chopped up fish, and it spoiled the stomach, but somehow this stayed overnight, and it was able to cure this illness of tzapidna. What are the symptoms of tzapidna? Umay simonis, this is what I mentioned before. Kad rami midi bekochi, but also doma mimi dori. When you eat something, when you put something in between your teeth, so it causes you to bleed, bibe dori, in between your teeth, in between the gums, the tissues over there, they end up bleeding. Okay, maybe this is scurvy, maybe this is not. In any event, the more continues, it says, Rabbi Yochanan, ki chosh b'tzapidna, ovar hochi b'shaboso v'itzi. When Rav Yochanan was sick from this sapidna, the stomach had a recurrence of it, or at another time, so he would do these medications even on Shabbos, and he was able to be cured. Now, the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, hechi ovar hochi, how was Rav Yochanan able to do this? It seems that only in the Mishnah, Rav Masi ben Chayrish had said that you're allowed to do this. So how was he allowed to go do whatever Yisurim were involved over here on Shabbos? Whatever this cure was, there could be potential to go and make this various Yisurim deraisa. So how was he able to do this? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, shiny tzapidna. Tzapidna is different than other what seems to be superficial illnesses that would have the status of being a mechush bi'alma, something which you're not allowed to take medications for, just a little bit of a bothersome little illness, a minor illness, or even a chola she'ein bo sakana, which is allowed to be doing the rabbanans, but not the raises for. But this sapidna, Reb Nachum Yitzchak said, is hol umaskul b'peh. Yeah, it starts off with a superficial illness in the mouth. However, v'gomer b'nei miyayim, as we said, it ends up attacking the intestines, and that makes it an internal illness, and that makes it a potentially fatal illness, and therefore, you're even allowed to do yisurim d'oraisa to save yourself. Again, sofek b'kuach nefashos is docha Shabbos. Were questions, Reb Yochanan. Amalei Reb Chiya bar Abel, Reb Yochanan. Reb Chiya bar Abel said to Reb Yochanan, but wait a second. In our Mishnah, Who said that you're allowed to do this? Only a das yochid, kiman, k'rabbi Masya ben Cheresh. The Omar, he was the one that said, hachoshesh bepid, if you have this illness in the mouth, again, tzapidna, metilin osam b'shabbos, you're allowed to go take medications for it on Shabbos. That seems to be a das yochid. How did you apply the ruling of a das yochid and go against the majority opinion of the chachamim? They seem to say you can't do this. So the more questions this. So I'm alay. No. Shani Omer Bazu v'lo b'cheres. No, when the Chachamim disagreed with Rav Masya ben Cheresh, that was only in regards to feeding the person who was bitten by a rabid dog, the dog's liver. That they disagreed with. That they said is not menusa ubeduka. That they said is not a tried and tested therapy, and therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. But the tzapidna, to go and treat tzapidna, no. This was a tried and proven therapy. Rav Yochanan had been healed from it several times. Rav Yochanan spread this word from this lady. And it healed many people. So this is a tried and proven therapy for a potentially fatal illness. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan said, the Chachamim don't disagree with Rav Masya ben Cheresh. They agree with him. And therefore, I follow the majority opinion. I follow everybody's opinion. There's less man de palag that says that you're not allowed to go take this on Shabbos. Shmuel says, Lema Masayale, let us say the following brisa is a raya, is in accord with what Rabbi Yochanan just said. Because the brisa says, Misha chozo yerokon, if somebody has this illness, yerokon, if somebody has a certain type of greenness to their body. Again, we would translate this as jaundice, a yellowish greenness to their body. So how do you treat jaundice? It's a liver disease. Machilin oso besar chamor. You go and feed him tray for meat. You feed him the meat from a donkey. Now, that obviously would be awesome to do if it wasn't menusa and beduka, because you can't go and do isurim unless it's a tried and proven and tested therapy. Likewise, the Bible says, Mishin Nechoshu Kelv Shotet, a rabid dog, a mad dog, goes and bites you, so it's a fatal disease, potentially, so you are allowed to go and take the liver of this dog and eat it. So again, Yisur, you're not allowed to eat the meat of a donkey, you're not allowed to eat the liver of a dog. This Tana says that these are proven therapy, so you're allowed to do so for Bikuch Levashos. And then it adds, and here's what we're interested in, if somebody has this mouth illness, this tzapidna, matil osam b'shabbos, you are allowed to go and take medication for it on Shabbos. Who's the author of these three cures? Divrei Rav Masya ben Cheresh. This is the opinion of Rav Masya ben Cheresh. Oh, and the Braisa now tells us, the Chachamim say, we agree with you on some of this, be'elu, ein b'hamishum refuah. For some of these, they're not considered acceptable for refuah. We don't consider them a nusa and beduka. They aren't checked out, and therefore you can't do an iser on Shabbos for some of these. Be'elu, for some of these, ein ben mishum refuah. They're not considered halachically medications that you're allowed to go and do them on Shabbos. However, be'elu implies some of these, but not all of them. So, limut emai, which ones do the Chacham say aren't considered acceptable medicines and not menusa and beduka, but which one is? So my lav, lemute sam, oh, they're saying that the first two, eating the basar of the donkey for this jaundice, for this yirokon, or taking the dog's liver because the dog that was rabid bit you and eating that as a cure, those, or the elu, these are of no value. However, the third one, taking the medication for the tzapidna, that is good. Oh, so the brisa seems to be in support of a raya to Rav Yochanan, which is lav davka. Lo, you can't tell me that for sure. Maybe they're saying all three of these that we don't believe have any medicinal value, as opposed to lemute makizim dam lesrunchi. But we do allow you to go and do a bloodletting on Shabbos for this illness known as srunchi. What is this srunchi? So Rashi tells us this is a choli, a sickness, shishmo istranglin. Again, foreign word, a French word, that sounds like it's strangling, a disease that causes you to choke. And he says it's known as bone melnat. And this, ubahi modele, the Chachamim say that the treatment for this serunchi, which is to do a bloodletting, is an acceptable remedy to even do on Shabbos. What exactly is this malady, this bon malat? So this word is strangling, sounds like it's a choking disease, and there are various infections that you can have in the mouth, known as Ludwig's angina, or peritonsillar abscess, a pharyngeal space abscess, also known as Quincy, that is potentially a fatal choking illness. And we would medically say that this is an emergency if somebody has this type of infection. And maybe that's what they're referring to as this srunchi, a strangling disease. It chokes you. It literally stops you from breathing because of the swelling, and it blocks off the breathing pathway. The trachea is blocked off over here, right around the point of the larynx, because of the swelling of the infection. In any event, their treatment for many things was do a bloodletting, do a makiz and dam, and this was, in their state of the art, felt to be menusim beduka. We would today say that that actually would help kill the person. They say that George Washington died from his doctor's bloodletting him rather than from the disease that he had. In any event, the state of the art was that this was considered by the Chachamim to be an acceptable therapy, as opposed to the other three, which included giving this medication for the tzapidna that the Chachamim say is not good. So this is not a raya necessarily to Rav Yochanan. Now, the Gemara is going to bring a raya to this second way of understanding this raya, so that it's not a raya to Rav Yochanan from the following. And they say, Hochanami Mistabra. It makes sense to say that the rabbis did not agree with Rav Masiv and Cheresh for the treatment of the Tzapidna, but they were saying, this we don't agree with, but this we do, the Makis and Damlis Serunchi, from the following raya, the Tanya. It says in this raya, Shlosh Dvarim Amar Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, three things did the son of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, say that he heard Sheshama Mishum Rav Masiv and Cheresh, that heard from this Tana Rav Masiv and Cheresh. Now these three things are, number one, Makiz and Dam L'Srunchi B'Shabbos. If you're allowed to do this bloodletting, you're allowed to go and treat this Srunchi on Shabbos with something that would normally be also with a bloodletting. Number two, Umisha Neshocho Kelev Shoti, if somebody's bitten by this mad dog, by this rabid dog, Machil L'Nso Mechatzar Kovishlo, you're allowed to go and take the liver of this dog, you kill this dog, you take its liver and you eat it. That's the treatment. And this is what we said in our Mishnah and in the first Brisa. And here, the third thing that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Rabbi Masiv Cheresh was Metilin Vachoshish Beviv. If somebody has this Tzapidna, Metilin Lo Sam B'Shabbos, you're allowed to go treat this with medication on Shabbos. And here, the Brisa says B'Cheresh V'Chachomimim Be'elu Ein Bahem Yishum Refuah. With these, they're not considered medicinal. But that implies be'elu these lemute mai, as opposed to something else, which they did agree with Rav Masiv and Cheresh. So, my love, atarte basraisa ulemute deresha, that in fact they disagree with the last two. They say, no, we don't allow you to go and take the medication for the tzapidna, the choshes b'fiv. We don't allow you to be matil no sam b'shabbos. And the second to last one, mishin choshu kel shot, that the rabid dog bites you, we don't allow you to be machil no sam echatzar kavish lo. Those last two, Elu, we disagree with you. Implication being, my love, Atarti Basraisa, they disagree with Ulamauti Deresha. And the first one, which is Makiz and Dam L'Srunchi B'Shabbos, they agreed with. Oh, exactly like the second explanation of the first Brisa that we had, that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Masiv and Cheresh for the treatment of the Tzapidna, but agree with him for the treatment of the Srunchi. So the Gemara says, no, Lav Dakla, this is not a proof either. We're back to our original step. We don't know which way Rav Masiv ben Cheresh was disagreed with the Chachamim. Did they disagree with him in regards to the Makiz and Dam L'Srunchi or with the Tzapidna? The Gemara says, lo, maybe when they said Elu in this second Raisa, they're actually referring to Atarti the Reisha, Kamaisa, that they're saying, no, we disagree with you in the first two, which is the Makiz and Dam L'Srunchi and Mishin Choshul Kelev Shotem. Maybe those two they disagreed with, but the third one, which is the Tzapidna, so that in fact they do agree with. So we have no raya one way or the other, and we're left with our original question. Do we or do we not say that the Chachamim agree with Rav Masiv and Cheresh that you're allowed to treat Tzapidna on Shabbos? So we turn to Pei Dalet Omud Beis, and we bring a Braisa. And the Braisa says as follows. The Braisa says, Toshma, we learn in the following Braisa, the Tani Rabba Bar Shmuel says, Ubra Sheiricha, if a pregnant woman smells something, and here we're dealing with Yom Kippur, and you're not allowed to go and eat it, so normally you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, but this pregnant woman, we're concerned that she will have either a miscarriage and or hurt herself. So Machil Nosa Ashutosh of Nasha. So he said, you whisper first in her ear, it's Yom Kippur. If that does the trick, great. And if it doesn't do the trick, so then you're allowed to go and feed her, Kal Kal. So Machil Nosa Ashutosh of Nasha. You're allowed to go and feed her until she feels better. Now, this Raisa then continues and it says, Umi Shinishacho Kelo Shot, if the rabid dog bites you, Machil Nosa Mechatzar Kovich Lo. You are allowed to go feed the person who was bitten by this dog. You kill the dog and you take some of its liver and you feed it to the person. And the third thing that this braisa says is a choshesh b'fiv. If somebody has this sapidna, he has this illness in his mouth, matin lo sam b'shabbos, you'll have to go treat it on Shabbos. Again, divrei Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi. This is the opinion of Rav Elazar, the son of Rav Yossi, and he heard this shama mishum Rav Masi ben Chayrish. So here again, we have that this is the opinion of Masi ben Chayrish. The Chachamim Amrim, here the Brisa says Beferish, the Chachamim say Bezu, Belo Biacheres. We agree with this ruling, Bezu, however, Belo Biacheres, so not the other ruling. Now, which one is Bezu? Bezu, Ahai. Which one do they agree with, and which one do they not agree with? Ilemo Aubra, if you're telling me that they agree with him in regards that you're allowed to feed a pregnant woman that smells something, and she has this tremendous craving, and if she doesn't eat it, she's going to potentially die, so they allow her to eat this or drink this item on Yom Kippur, because she's going to die without it. Is that what they agree with? Zoo? They agree with? Ilema Ubra? Pshita. Ubra mi'ika l'man d'yomar d'lo. Wait a second. There is certainly no opinion that says that you're not allowed to do this. So it can't be that the Chachamim say, oh, we agree with that. Who had a havamina to say that they didn't agree with that? So the Gemara says, Ubra mi'ika l'man d'yomar d'lo. Who says that you can't do that? So therefore, we wouldn't need the Chachamim to come along and say, yeah, we agree with him with that. That's not his opinion. That's the Divrei HaKol. That's the Kuli Amalu Plegi. So when they say, we agree with him with this one, but we don't agree with that one, Elav Asam. So aren't they in fact saying that we agree with him, this Brisa says, with the treatment of the Tzapidna, they agree with Ramasi and Chayresh, and it's only with the Neshocho Kelev Shota, the Machil Nosom Echatzar Kovichlo, that they disagree with. Oh, this Brisa says in Beferish, Shmamina. We finally do have our Raya. Rav Yochanan was correct. You're allowed to go and take the treatment for the Tzapidna on Shabbos because everybody agrees with it. It's not a Das Yochid or a Masim Cheresh. It is the opinion of everybody. Kuli Amalo Pligi, the Chachamim agree, as this Brisa specifically states. And I'll show you that this is the right thing where it says, Rav Ashi Amar, Masnisa Nami Daika. I can bring you a Raya directly from our Mishnah that seems to say the same thing. Because what did our Mishnah say? It said, V'od Omar, Rav Masi ben Chayrish. And in addition, Rav Masi ben Chayrish said one additional thing. What was that one additional thing? Hachoshish b'fiv, matil lo sam b'shabbos. That if you have this sapidna, you have this mouth illness, then you'll have to go and take medication for it on Shabbos. And it doesn't mention that the rabbis disagreed. Hello, Pligi, Rabbanan Alei. It doesn't say, and the Chacham disagreed. Now, if the Chacham disagreed, Vim Esau, the Plige, Rabbanon Alei, if in fact you're going to tell me that the Rabbanon disagreed with Masim Chayrish, they should have said so. And they did say they disagreed with him in regards to the Kelev Shota. So therefore, they should have said, well, we disagree with you in regards to the Kelev Shota and the Tzapidna. Le'arvinu, they should have combined their statement that they disagree, the Lisninu, the Liflagu, Rabbanon, Besefa. They should have said, we disagree with you in both of them, not just say we disagree with you in regards to the Kelev Shota. And therefore, Rav Ashi says, you can even bring a diuk from our Mishnah, Shema Mina, that Rav Masi Mecherish and the Chacham only had a machlokis in regards to the Kelev Shota. Could you not feed him the liver, the person who was bitten by this dog? Rav Masi Mecherish says, yes. The Chacham say, no, it's not proven, and you can't eat something that's osur because you think it might be of some benefit. It has to be proven. But in regards to the Tzapidna, that's considered Menusa Beduka. It's checked out, and therefore you could take that medication on Shabbos, even according to the Chacham. Oh, that's the answer. Now the Mishnah said, "Mipnei she sofek nefashos hu v'chule." We added on the extra words that it's sofek nefashos hu, and sofek pikuach nefashos is docha es haShabbos. Gemara says, "What do you have to tell me the extra statement? Lama li tu lemeimar? Why did you have to add on? You say mipnei she sofek nefashos hu. Period. I would know the answer. Why did you then have to add on the whole sofek nefashos docha es haShabbos? It seems to be repetitive. Why did you repeat that second part of the Mishnah?" So the Gemara says, "I'm Reuven Rav." No, there's a very good reason for repeating it. Reuven Rav says, "Lo sofik Shabbos zubilvad amru el afilu sofik Shabbos acheres." So by saying this extra statement, "V'chol sofik nefashos doches a Shabbos," comes to teach us. Reuven Rav says a very important principle. Even if it's not this Shabbos that it's going to say before, but it will be for a future Shabbos, so then that you're allowed to go and be mechalal this Shabbos in order to potentially save you for a future Shabbos that you shouldn't, Rachmona Litzlan, die. So this is telling us that you're allowed to take a treatment for this Shabbos, even though you won't die this Shabbos. It will only prevent you from dying in the future, so that therapy is also allowed. That's the extra words of the Mishnah, according to Yehuda Marab, teaches this. Gemara says, well, give me an example. Hechi Dami, what exactly are we talking about over here? So the Gemara says, for example, Kigon, the following situation occurred, that the doctors at that time said that this person has an illness, the amdua l'tamnaya yome, that it's going to require treating you for 8 consecutive days. And this treatment involves some sort of Chilul Shabbos in preparing the treatment for you. So they diagnose this on Shabbos. Today is Shabbos. The Yoma Kama Shabbosa. And on this first day that they're diagnosing you, they say, you better take this medication. Now, if you take it that day and you do all the Yisurim that are involved in making it, so that's on Shabbos number one. Then you go the next 6 days of the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and that's 7 days total, the first Shabbos plus the 6 days a week. And then the eighth day is the following Shabbos. And again, you have to be Mechal Shabbos to go and take this medication. Those are the facts. So therefore, in this situation where the rabbi said, you have to take it for 8 consecutive days, starting from today on Shabbos, so you're allowed to do so. Ma'u detema, because I might have thought, listen, wait till Matzei Shabbos. Li'akev ad dil'urta. Wait until it's Matzei Shabbos, until it's the light of the next day, which means that's the euphemism we use, orli arboso. We started off Pesachim by saying you do the B'dikas Chametz, it's orli arboso, which doesn't mean during the day, it means at nighttime. So here it says, wait till it's urta, wait till it's light, which means wait until Shabbos is over, and then start the treatment. And in this way, your 8 days won't be two Shabbosim. It will be Sunday through Sunday. 8 days, two Sundays inclusive, that's 8 days. And this way, you only mechal Shabbos one time. So the Chiddush of our Mishnah, and that's what this Hechidami is explaining, is that no, you start the therapy on Shabbos. You don't delay. Kamash v'lon, even though if you started at Matzei Shabbos, you'd only be Mechal Shabbos one time. He says, this din is that if you need to take this medication, it's potentially Sofik Pikuach Nefashos, it's Docha not only this Shabbos, but it's even Docha next Shabbos. So don't delay. If the treatment needs to be done on Shabbos, you'll do it on Shabbos. No questions asked. And the Brisa supports this. Tanya Nami Hochi. It says, Mechamin Chamin L'chol B'Shabbos. They used to heat up water for a lot of sick people on Shabbos. They used to make hot water for these sick people on Shabbos by a bris milah. They used to heat up hot water even on Shabbos with a bris milah if they didn't have it prepared beforehand, which they were supposed to do. But it's Pikuach L'Fashos. Apparently they felt that having hot water, we understand through hygiene, it's important to wash your hands, it's important to keep clean. So they would heat up hot water for a sick person on Shabbos. And this is true for whatever purposes it was, Ben Lashkosa, whether he needed to drink this hot water, Ben Lavroso, or whether to go and wash himself in order to strengthen himself, to heal him with this hot water. And Velo Shabbos Ubovat Amru, and not only for going and heating up the water for this Shabbos, but even if it's a Sofik Pikuach Nefashos, that he won't die on this Shabbos, Elo L'Shabbos Acheres, but if he doesn't wash himself now, he'll die 3 weeks from now. So even though it's for the benefit of another Shabbos, you're allowed to do this even on this Shabbos. It's not that you're allowed to do Chal Shabbos for this Shabbos because you'll die otherwise on this Shabbos. No, even if you don't die on this Shabbos, it's an illness. It takes a while to kill you. But if you don't treat it right now, you'll die 3 Shabbosim from now in the future Shabbos. Even for Shabbos Acheres, you can be Chal Shabbos for this Shabbos now. We don't say, the Ein Omim, we don't tell this person, listen, Namtin Lo Shemayabri, let's hold off giving the therapy because it's not going to kill you today and let's see what happens. No, we absolutely do not say that. Ella, what do we say? You heat up the water for him to either drink or to wash himself with it immediately. Why? Because anytime you have even the slightest suspicion that it's a potential loss of life, it's Doche Shabbos. No questions asked. You can't play games with this. It's only a 2% chance it'll die. Now again, if there's no realistic possibility, a person stubs his toe, and yes, theoretically, if he stays in bed because he stubbed his toe and it hurts him, he could get a blood clot, and the blood clot could go from his legs up to his lungs, and it could cause him to have a pulmonary embolus, and he could die. Yes, but that's so far-fetched that that's not called a Sofek Pikuach Nefashos. You have to draw the line someplace. So again, whatever is considered to be a true potential, even though it's not highly likely, but even as a potential of Sofek Nefashos to a realistic degree, so then in that situation, Menesha Sofik Nefashos Doches the Shabbos, and therefore you can be Doches Shabbos. How do you decide? So one of the parameters that I've always been taught is, whatever you would do on Tuesday for this illness, if it's considered serious enough that you wouldn't wait from Tuesday to Wednesday, so then you certainly can do that on Shabbos. But if it's the type of thing that you'd say on Tuesday, let's see what happens, so then you can say the same thing on Shabbos as well. Menesha Sofik Nefashos Doches the Shabbos, only if you would do this for normal purposes. If on a normal situation you would treat it this way, so then if it's Sofik Pikuach Nefashos, you can treat it on Shabbos this way. But if on a normal weekday you wouldn't treat it, so then you don't have the heft to go and treat it on Shabbos. Again, it's a very general parameter. And each case, when you are not a doctor and you are not capable of knowing for certain, so then a lay person should be in any situation where it's Sofik Pikuach Nefashos, pick up the phone, call Atzalah, call 911, and go and address whatever needs to be addressed on Shabbos. It's a very important halacha l'maisa, which is why I'm stressing this. Then the Braisa continues and says, "Lo sofik Shabbos zu el afilu sofik Shabbos acharis." It's not only a sofik of the Shabbos, even a sofik for a future Shabbos. The same thing applies. And then the Gemara tells us a very important idea, and this is a big machlokus in Shulchan Aruch. Then osin devarim halalu, and we don't say if you have to desecrate the Shabbos that you should do it with the least important person. Ella. The Enos in Dvar Malalu, Loai de Nachrim, Loai de Kusim. You don't say, go call a guy. Go call this Nachri, go call this Kusi to pick up the phone and call Hatzalah. Or let them turn on the light. Let them do the EpiPen. Let them do whatever needs to be done. No. Elai de Gedolei Yisrael. Now, the simple understanding, Gedolei Yisrael means a person above the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah. Others understand this, and it means, no, you get to call the rabbi. The rabbi should be the one to call Hatzalah. Rechman Aslan, somebody has chest pain and shul, so the rabbi should take the emergency phone and call Hatzalah. Not, let's call the janitor in and, wait 10 minutes and he'll call Hatzalah. No, El-Aide Gedolei Yisrael, the Gemara tells us. Likewise, there are many ways to understand this. The simplest way to understand this is, means that for somebody saying that this is pikuach nefashos, we don't rely upon people that aren't experts, such as women or kusim. But if there's a controversy over here, we're not sure is this pikuach nefashos or not. So you can't combine the opinion of the women or the kusim to have the majority in a situation where we would follow the majority opinion. Again, in most situations, if somebody says this is because of the fashos, we listen to them, assuming they have some expertise, or if there is nobody there that's expert that disagrees with them, then you always call at Sola. Some explain this, no, just the way we just said, that you don't have a Nachri or Kusi go and call at Sola. You let the Gedolei Yisrael call at Sola, so too. Don't look for a child to do this. Don't look for a woman to do this or a Kusi to do this. It's saying the same thing, essentially. Ella, in this situation, you have the Gadol B'Yisrael go and call. How do we paskin this shaila? Is this true? Person gets chest pain in shul, does the Mor Da'asu, does the Rav of the shul, he should be given the phone and given the quote, the honor of calling Hatzalah and showing everybody that this is not Chilul Shabbos, this is how you preserve the Shabbos, because Savi B'Kuach Nefashos is Zedoch Shabbos, or do you listen? We can call in the janitor, and the janitor will come in, and he will go call Hatzalah. So in Shulchan Aruch, it's brought down this famous machlokes between the Rambam and the Rambam as to whether it means that you literally have the Rav do it or not. So we paskin halacha lemaisa. Again, it's a complicated sugya. I'm going to say it over in 10 seconds. But we paskin that if there's absolute certainty that it will not cause any delay in the treatment of the sick person, the phone is right there. The non-Jewish person perfectly knows how to dial Hatzalah and presses the button for Hatzalah, and he will talk to them on the phone as quickly and as easily as the rabbi. And there is absolutely no delay. So then we paskin that you should, where it's absolutely, again, can't stress this enough, where there's absolutely no concern of delaying treatment of this person. So then if there's a non-Jewish person there, there's a child there, we say preferable to have them be the one calling, being over on the whatever halacha is of Shabbos that you're doing, rather than having the Bar Bas Mitzvah or the Godol do it. But the Taz brings down, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Taz and says that in a situation where there's even the slightest chance that it won't be doing it with alacrity, so then you have the Jewish person do it. And this is the basis, the whole basis for starting Hatzalah organizations and all those wonderful communities that had this wonderful organization. So the 911 response was not as quick and not as much with alacrity. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can have Jewish people going and desecrating the Shabbos, because it's not called desecrating the Shabbos, that's called observing the Shabbos, because the din is that safei pikuach nefashos is docha es haShabbos. And that's the overriding principle. If you're absolutely certain that it won't cause any delay, then it's preferable to have a non-Jewish person do it. But if there's any chance that the non-Jewish person will not do it with as much alacrity as a Jewish person, halacha lemaisa, the Jewish person is the one that is mechalel Shabbos. Tana Rabbanan, we learn the following brayso, so mefachim pikuach nefesh b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to go and take care of all of the needs of pikuach nefashos on Shabbos. So, for example, mefachtin gal, you can go, and Rachman al-Litzlan, as we said, in a building, Nebuch, that fell down, and the people underneath the building. So, Rachman al-Litzlan, Hashem Yerachim, still in the situation in Surfside, that we should be able to find possibly still some people alive at the bottom. And you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. And the The Gemara tells us, the Braisa continues, Vazari, somebody does this with alacrity, Harez Meshubach, he's praiseworthy. And as I mentioned the other day, could I mention again, if you have to go and waste time asking the Rav a Shaila and Shabbos, the Rav is going to be held accountable for not telling you this beforehand, which is why I'm spending so much time mentioning over here this din, so nobody should have any doubt, nobody should have any hesitation. It's very hard. A person never, ever is Mechal Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. And then suddenly somebody has chest pain in front of him to go pick up the phone. It's a very difficult thing for a person to do. Hazar is Harez Meshubach. If you do this with alacrity, that's called very praiseworthy. And likewise, don't go ask the Rav a Shaila when somebody's having chest pain. That's not the time to ask Shailas. What's an example? This is Hoketzad. For example, if you see a little kid, Rahman al-Islam, that falls into the water, it's a good point to remind everybody as we enter into the summer months that you have to be very, very, very careful with water safety, with little children in pools and in lakes. Rahman al-Islam, every year we hear tragic stories, so, you know, one should be extremely aware if there are little children around and there's pools around to be very careful. Rahman al-Islam, Ra'a Tinok Shenafal Yam, if you see a young child falling into the water and he's going to drown in Renebuch, so you are allowed to be Pores Mitsuda, you can spread out a net to bring him in, Umaleu, and bring the kid in, even though this will also trap fish, as the Gemara will say in a second. Ba'azariz, Harez HaMeshubach, and if you do this with alacrity, oh, Baruch Hashem, that is absolutely praiseworthy. Don't go ask the rabbi Yeshayla. This is not the time to go and ask questions. And the Gemara says, this is true. The Afal God, the Kotsayid Kavri. And even though when you throw in this net to bring out the child, it's also going to bring out a bunch of tuna. It's going to bring out a bunch of fish. Nevertheless, that's allowed. Likewise, Ro'a Tinok Shenofel Abor. Similar situation, we see a child, Nebuch, falling into a pit on Shabbos. So, Oker Chulya, you're allowed to go and make essentially a further hole, in other words, widen the hole so you can get down into the bottom of the pit and bring up this child. And again, one who acts with alacrity, Hazaris, Harez HaMeshubach. This is also very praiseworthy. And again, the Ein Tzarech Lito Rishus Mibeisin. You don't have to go ask a Shaila, don't ask permission, can you do this? Go and do this. We'll explain why we have to tell this almost what sounds like the exact same thing again in a moment. And the Gemara adds that you're allowed to do this even though you're doing binyan. Afugav, the misakin darga. You're making darga as a step over here. And you're doing the isser of binyan on Shabbos. Not a problem. You're allowed to do this because of Savi B'Kol Tavashos. A third case. Raw shenina lo delas b'pnei tinok. A child gets locked into a room. Right? The child goes into the bathroom. He gets locked inside the bathroom. And now the child's crying. So shov ro motzio. You're allowed to go break the door down and take the kid out. Obviously, have a key, open up the door, but you have no way to open up the door other than breaking it down. You can break it down, and if you do this with alacrity, as always, Harez HaMeshubach, again, very, very praiseworthy, and again, don't go ask a shayla from the basin, can I do this or not? Just do it. And this is true, he says, oh, I needed the firewood over here. This is going to be great. After Shabbos, I'm not going to have to go chop down the tree. I could use this firewood. So even though your intention, just like with pulling the kid out of the water, you trap some fish. And even though in the case with the pit, now you have access to this pit. So even though you have an ulterior benefit from this, nevertheless, you're allowed to do this. And then the fourth situation is you're allowed to go and put out a fire or to go and put barrels of water in the path of a fire in order to prevent the fire from spreading or to put the fire out. Again, this is again where there's a concern of pikuach nefashos. In theory, the Gemara in Shabbos had taught us if there's zero concern of pikuach nefashos, you're not allowed to put a fire out on Shabbos. So you have an isolated fire, it's in the middle of a fire pit, and there's a concrete around it, there's no way it will burn anything else, and the fire is raging over here, you're not allowed to put it out, in theory. But in practice, we are always concerned that a fire could spread and it could always cause a potential loss of life because these fires spread so fast. Rahman al-San, you see all the time how a fire spread, thousands and thousands of acres can be destroyed. And you thought it was an easily controlled fire. So therefore, bottom line is, you call the fire department, you put out a fire on Shabbos because of the potential for bikuach nefashos. And again, Hazaris, Harez HaMeshubach. Somebody does this with alacrity, it is considered very praiseworthy. And again, Vein Tzarech Lito Rishus Mibeisin. You don't go ask the rabbis, you don't have to ask permission to do this. And even though you're going to now benefit, even though you're going to end up benefiting over here by having these coals that the fire is now put out, oh, now Baruch Hashem, you have some coals. As Rashi says, you'll now have these coals, Litzlo, Saleh, and Lariv. You'll have a barbecue, Batsi Shabbos. So you're happy that you have this. Nevertheless, in all of these situations, you're allowed to do this even though you have an ulterior benefit. Now, why do you have to tell me all these cases? Utsricha. So Gemara tells us each of them had a chiddush. Because if you only told me the first one, diashmein on yam, if you only told me the case of the kid Nebuch falling into the water and you can take a net to bring him out, bishum da dahochi, vahochi, ozale, because if you don't do this immediately with alacrity, the kid's going to drown, rechmon al-san. Avol babar, and the kid falling into the pit, if you don't do it that second, the kid's not going to drown. He's in the pit. He's going to be scared. He's going to be very, very upset, but he's not going to die. Abu Bar, the Koyasa, the kid sitting in the pit, I might have thought, Emelo, that maybe we should leave him there until after Matzi Shabbos and then go take him out. So Gemara says, no, Tzricha, this is horrible. This kid is terrified down there. So you're allowed to go and do this on Shabbos. No, if you tell me just the bar, Vyashmin a bar, you know why we say Bishum the Kor Mivis, the kid is frightened out of his wits, and he could really, Rechman al-San, suffer. And therefore, you're allowed to go and save him on Shabbos. However, when he's locked in the bathroom, Abu Lanel is Dallas, if he's right there, you're right on the other side of the door, you could calm him down. Efshu the Yosef Baigi, so you stand on this side of the door, Umashbeish Le Bam Guze, you could go and play with nuts on the other side of the door. You can have a conversation with the kid. You can distract the kid, and he won't be so terrified. And wait till after Shabbos, and then you'll smash the door down. Therefore, Tzricha, it tells me that. And the last one, Mechabin u'mafsikin, you'll have to put out the fire. What do you need that one for? Lamali, what's the chiddush over there? Teaching us da'afilu l'chotzer cheres. There's nobody over here, so there's nobody dangerous over here with this fire. So the chiddush is that even though there's nobody here, it could spread to the next courtyard, and da'afilu l'chotzer cheres, you are allowed to go put out the fire in order to prevent any potential pikuach nefashos. So each of these had a chiddush that the previous one did not have. Gemara continues, says, I'm Rav Yosef, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Shmuel, Rav Yosef, name of Yehuda, same name of Shmuel. Lo halchu bikuach nefesh acharo. You don't follow the majority opinion when it comes to pikuach nefashos, and you can even listen to a minority opinion. That's what it sounds like. Gemara says, hey, Chidam, what are you talking about? What's the case? The Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel said. So Gemara says, are you telling me inema that you're dealing over here the Ika Tisha Yisrael, the Kusiyecha Benayu? You're dealing over here with nine Yisrael and one Kusi, and therefore the building came down on them, and as we said in the Mishnah, and you don't know who was underneath the building, so Ruba Yisrael, you know. So this is a majority that are Yisrael. So certainly you're allowed to go and remove the rubble. Elo, that's the Girsa that we have, but the Mesor Sasha says that instead of Elo, it should be Inami, alternatively, Palgo, Palgo, even if you want to tell me that it's 50-50, so again, Sofik, Nefarshus, Lahakil, so then why would you need to tell me that you're allowed to do this in this situation? Elo, where it says it must be the Iko Tisha Kusin, Yisrolecha, you must be dealing over here with the majority of Kusin and one Yisrael, so maybe there you're not allowed to. So one says, no, Hanami Pshita, you're of course you're allowed to do this. Because we have the famous principle we discuss in many places, the Havalei Kavua, because they're all in the same place. And when it deals with something all in the same place, we don't apply the majority rule. Elo, we say, well, Kavua, Kemechza, Almechza Domi. We say it's a 50-50 scenario. And therefore, in this situation, you would be allowed to go save them as well. So what area did Rav Yosef or Yehuda or Rishon will tell us that we don't follow the majority? So it says, Elo, Lo Tzricha, De Parush, Lechotzer Cheres. It's they had a certain number of people there. There were Teisha Kusim and Yisrael Echad, and one of them left to another yard where the building fell down, and we don't know which one left. So this is no longer called Kavua Kemerza Merza Domi, but this is another principle known as that this is Parish. And Ma'al Tema, called the Parish Meruba Parish, Kamash Vulon, the Lohochu Bibkuach Nefashos Acharo. Here we would say that we follow the halachic principle of when something leaves from a place, then you follow the majority. If it's in the same place, then you'd say everything is a 50-50, even if it's statistically not. But here we say that since the person left, we don't know which person left, so maybe then you follow the majority. So the Chiddush of Amar of Yosef, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel is that Kamash Vulon, that we don't apply that principle, I'll call the Parish Meruba Parish, but we say by Pikuach Nefashos Hochin Achar Harov. But the more questions is and says, Eni, is this really so that we follow the majority in this situation? After all, Ravasi said in the name of Yochanan, if you have Tisha Kusim Yisraelecha, if you have nine Kusim and one Yisrael, so be also Chotzer, if they're in the same Chotzer, then we have the principle of Kol Kavua, Kemechtzo Mechtzo Domi, and therefore you ignore the Rove and you are allowed to be Mefachiach Esagal. However, Bechotzer Acheretz, Ein Mefachin. But if they go into another chotzer, then you're not allowed to, because we seem to follow the principle of, in this situation, Hochen Achar Rov, called the Parish Meruba Parish. So this seems to contradict what we just said. So Gemara says, Lo Kasha. No, it's really not a Kasha. Depends. Hod the Parish Kulu. In Shmuel's Halacha, where he said that you're allowed to be Mefachiach, Amar Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that statement was when they all left. So then it's again The entire group moved. However, in this brisa, it's talking about only ha de parush miksasayu. If only one of them left, now you apply the principle called the parush miruba parush, and that will explain the difference between these two piskei halacha. Lamaisa today, because of the concerns of Eva, because of other concerns, halacha lamaisa, we don't distinguish between a Yisrael and a Kusi halacha lamaisa. That's the psak that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, and that is the psak halacha lamaisa in regards to all of these sofek, bekoach, nefashu situations that you are mechalel Shabbos in order to preserve all life. Now, tomorrow's shiur, we'll stop over here, but in tomorrow's shiur, we're going to continue this discussion. Mitzvah Shem, we'll pick this up tomorrow. That concludes today's shiur.